Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host Matt Marrero, along with
Satish Ram. How y'all doing tonight?
Yes, and of course, today is a very tragic day, and we would like to start off the show with just a moment of silence, because obviously, the tragedy that occurred today. And of course, we would like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. We're doing our NXT Takeover Electrical Boogaloo. I don't know what is it now. It's Fatal 4-Way now. Hey, by the way, I was right.
You were
right.
Last night.
I was right. And of course, we have two guests on the show today. If you would like to,
I get to do this. My name.
Well, yeah, you get to introduce them.
What? I get to introduce the guests? Or I get to introduce
yes.
me? I don't know. I'm trying to show that I contribute to our guests tonight,
Yeah.
My name is Satish Wim, and I'm a certified podcaster and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And here with me is my big Matt, and he has hair like Jesus, and he can talk in 50 different voices, and you can't teach that.
The impression of Enzo is S-A-W-F-T, soft.
It'd be fun to do that, man.
You know what I would like? I would like to hope that our one listener did not tune off.
I didn't even get to do the whole, like, bada boom, those guys in the room, what's up? Like, I didn't get to do that either. Like, don't leave yet, listener.
S-A-W-F-G's off. What if they just sped it up, which is like, where it's just kind of like a heelish tag team, which is like, you know what you are? You're S-A-W-F-G's off. Like the spirit
squad. Yeah, but it's just like, that sounds like Simon Dean back in the day. Just like, you know what? You're not working out enough. You are S-A-W-T soft. Like Simon Dean. The Simon Dean machine will get you right back into shape. It's, But no.
I would love to see Bo Dallas talk to them.
That would be very confusing.
I have to say, guys, you're being a little bit soft today.
And just you can imagine Enzo, Cass, did he just call me soft? He did not just call me soft. He did not just call you soft, Enzo. He called me soft. What is he thinking? He called you soft. I don't know what he's thinking. Just go back and one of their first promos, by the way, in NXT, which kills me, involves the line, two lines that kill me. One of them, he's talking about, I think, Rusev at the time. And he's like, he's spineless. And Cass is like, yeah, like a chicken strip. And later on in the same promo, Enzo's like, we're stars. We're taking media showers. And I was like, motherfucker, what is he on? This is brilliant.
Yeah. So, let's get to the actual action. Where was this action?
Full Sail University.
On the WWE Network. You're wrong. It was on the WWE Network. And how much was it?
Free, with your $9.99 monthly payment.
You're wrong, actually. You see, you're going to Canada. It was $10.99.
No! How am I going to afford the network in Canada now?
Actually, that extra dollar could, or I'm sorry, $2, could, in sorry, $1 actually. For some reason I thought $11.99. That extra dollar could kill Satish. Like, it could take away food from Satish for a full year.
That would hurt. But, no, I mean, so, getting serious for a moment here, the show was not a complete disappointment. The first hour I thought was kind of weak. The second hour was much, much more impressive. And I assume you agree.
Yes, of course. And it's upsetting because it obviously is not bad for NXT standards, but it reminded me, it's kind of like where, you know, if you go to, let's say, a wrestling school and you'll see some of these, you know, you'll see some of the bigger names that are at the event. And, you know, because wrestling schools actually do hold events occasionally. And you'll go see, like, let's say, you know, like some of the competitors, and they can be both students, and some of them can bring their A game, but of course you're reminded sometimes that, oh, yes, these are students. They are learning. That's kind of how I felt with NXT a bit. Not that in character, because that's the funny thing that I had noticed tonight. Character, I think everyone was there. You know what I mean? Like everyone had something that was just, yep, that's how you either love or hate that person. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the in-ring aspect, it felt lacking compared to the way it usually is. However, if you told me that this was a WWE pay-per-view, I'd be like, damn, that was pretty good. Or, you know, a WWE event of some kind. I'd be like, you know what? That was really good. But for NXT, strangely enough, we hold them at a higher standard than normal WWE program.
Yeah, and that's because of the work that they've put out there. You know, NXT Arrival and NXT TakeOver 1 were incredibly impressive. And it just the standard. And with the same kind of people on the card, we were hoping for a similar type of thing going on. And so the first hour, it's funny because we'll say it's bad or I was disappointed, but it wasn't per se bad. It was not up to the standard that NXT pay-per-views have put out there. And that's okay. Like, you know, it's okay once in a while, especially because the second hour picked it up. You know, this was not a whole pay-per-view thing. And it did feel like we did have a bit more of, like, segment-slash-story character time in the first hour than we did wrestling. And that's okay in terms of, you know, I have to remember this is NXT and this is how things go. But, you know, it is what it is.
You know, what I think they were doing for this, and I feel like this was a type of, because they knew they were promoting it so much beforehand, I think they were expecting some people to possibly tune in without knowing anything. So I think they really wanted to, and it's strange to say this, but okay, you noticed how at WrestleMania time, it looked like they wanted to get everyone in. And that's why we heard rumors that that's the reason why we got the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Right?
Mm.
Or something like that, where we can just throw, same thing with the Divas, you know? Oh, we want screen time, oh, we want screen time. Usually it's only, for some strange reason, it's only one Divas match per year, or a women's match per year on the WrestleMania card. So they just probably thought, you know what, throw them all in there. They can all get their time to, it's not even shine, because obviously it can be a lot harder to work, but match. They can all get their time on television, right? That, or, you know, pay-per-view. That's, I think, how they felt with this, where they sacrificed some of the quality by having a squash match on there. For someone who is just debuting, not even even though I don't like squash matches with Rusev, that makes sense because it was a continuing thing.
I'll be honest with you, that wasn't actually something that bothered me. But, you know, I will get to that. But, before we jump into the match card, we've got 718-664-9468 as our call-in number, as always.
Yes.
718-664-9468. You can call in to listen. And not press the 1 button. We won't be alerted to that, and you don't have to get on air and talk with us. If you do want to get on air and talk with us, anything about NXT tonight, something that piqued your fancy, you can hit the 1 button. We get a little notification on the board, and we'll put you right through. Doesn't have to be an immediate thing.
Yes, and also remember that if you do want to call and talk to us, please make it relevant to whatever segment or match we're referring to.
Righto.
You know, again, it's always lovely to hear from you, but you know, we're not at the main event just yet, that sexy, beautiful main event. We're not there just yet, but we'll get there. Also, something that really made me laugh, I don't know if you noticed this. JoJo had something to do.
And she was complimented by Renee.
She was complimented.
Later on, Renee complimented her.
No, it's something, because you look at Eva Marie, and people always say things like, Eva Bot, and it's really upsetting because it's so accurate, and I don't want it to be, because I want to feel like she has talent in something. I understand maybe wrestling might not be her thing, or maybe she's not putting in the work that she should be, but the point is that there has to be something that clicks, and for JoJo, this clicked, which is nice, because we haven't seen her wrestling for a while, and we understood why after seeing a few of her matches. So it's good that she found a niche. She found something to do in the company.
Yeah, no, that's good, because if she's not going to wrestle, then it's not that she's untalented, and it's cool that she can do her thing. So
yeah. She just might not be talented at that specific thing, you know, professional wrestling, which, hey, not everyone can do it. If anyone could do it, we'd have a lot more fans in the ring than we do, you know? But yeah, so that was interesting. Like, I looked at her and I said, that's JoJo. That's mm-hmm. actually JoJo. Well, look at that. And, of course, by the way, I don't know if you noticed. Well, no, I'm sure you noticed this. I think we talked about it previously. I was a huge fan of the hacked opener they used in the beginning.
Oh, that was great. I like that whole, you know, and it fits the whole NXT is taking over thing.
It really does.
Which was super.
No, it gave me, I had sad feelings, I have to be honest. I felt really bad because of the fact that, wow, I think Triple H may have erased his name from my memory. You know who I'm thinking of. Sami Callihan.
Sami Zayn. Oh, no. Solomon Crowe, I'm sorry.
Solomon Crowe. Wow. See? Look what Triple H is doing to me. He throws Sami Zayn in my face to the point where it's just, yeah, Callahan, Sami, whatever. Just take him. It's like, but I want to remember the other guy. What other guy? He never existed. You never saw him. And in theory, we never did. We're sorry, Solomon Crowe. We love you.
Yeah, Solomon Crowe, we don't know what, I hope he keeps the name. Because Solomon Crowe and a finisher called the Song of Solomon is beautiful to me. Absolutely
yes.
Beautiful. So I hope that doesn't change.
Pretty much. I mean, there's just, you know, it's another thing, too, where I mentioned, where it's just earlier, a while ago, possibly on the air, where it's just if you're going to at least change, you know, his gimmick or whatever, fine, but give it to someone. You know, I really hate the idea of, because that gimmick is a really good gimmick, that name, everything's a really good name. It would be upsetting if it's just, nope, back to the drawing board, burn the prototypes. Like, no, don't burn John Cena. We could work with him until he's better.
NXT being, you know, Triple H's baby is definitely been turning some heads. It's definitely been something, but
which is
it's really easy to get into. And
that's,
for a lot of good, you know, a lot of things that they're doing right in terms of, they do the little things right in terms of keeping characters, and the women have actual matches, which is wonderful because they're all very mm-hmm. talented.
Well, I think it's nice to say that the women's match was the second best match of the night.
Yeah, and it was a similar thing back at NXT Arrival, which was,
right.
you know, only overshadowed by the fact that Adrian Neville took on Bo Dallas in a very solid ladder match. That,
yeah.
you know, it was Paige and Emma back then, and that was a 4-to-5-star match back at Arrival.
And I also really enjoyed Natalya versus Charlotte, especially because of the history between them, and you know, with the story that they played in the ring really made you think that these two people hated each other when they obviously don't. But it really made you feel that.
That's good.
So,
no, yeah, you're correct. I mean, that was also enjoyable.
Right.
Charlotte's been doing this really... I mean, I know that she's a heel, but she has lapses in her character that makes it sometimes a little bit confusing. But,
right.
like, I just feel like she's not that great at being an asshole yet. You know? Like, just being honest. I don't think that she's that great at being an asshole.
Okay.
I think that there are certain moments where she comes mm-hmm. off being really like, oh, my God, I hate her. But at the same time, it's really confusing. Like, I feel like her inner self wants to be a face so bad.
Well, I think that, I don't know. I will admit I didn't see the fallout. So if you saw the fallout, that might be.
I did see the fallout.
Was she on the fallout? Because I noticed that Charlotte being, Charlotte during the fallout, for some reason, I don't know if it's her, I don't know who it is, but they're not giving her direction on staying a heel, or at least when it comes to Bayley. There's a chance that from what we saw during the show itself, that they want to continue this into a, not even a turn, but I respect you, or you are an exception, like you are good, because you can have heels that respect other people for what they've done, but at the same time, knowing that if they're holding a title, they are truly the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's who she could be or become. And hell, they might be wanting to groom her that way. If people are up, you know, on the top or looking down and seeing what they want, you know, they could be trying to get her character groomed if they're smart. Because hey, for a while we've thought that there's been some huge disconnect. But hopefully, with what Triple H has been saying recently, there may be a kind of closer, tight knit, you know, working between the. You know, the people working at the top and the people working down at NXT. I would hope so. But anyway, let's talk about the Ascension versus Mucha Libre.
The Lucha Dragons.
the Lucha Dragons, them so much. I love them
so much. I really enjoy them. I have to admit that I had no idea what Hunico and Sin Cara would do. And a month since that change, I am very impressed. Because he has done everything that we have hoped the Sin Cara character could do. He executes a good Swanton Bomb. He executes all the jumps in the ring very well. He has incredible chemistry with Kalisto. I don't know where it's from, but they have great chemistry. And then Kalisto, I think, is eventually going to be a single star. But right now, I'm so pleased with Team Lucha that I wouldn't mind them being a tag team for a bit. And I know that because they're NXT tag champions, they're going to be that way for a little. And I'm okay with that. I am.
Yeah. It sounds sad to say, but because I don't want to belittle NXT, and, you know, because hopefully one day, from, again, the way Triple H has been talking, there's a chance that NXT could be on the same level of, you know, Raw or SmackDown in certain regards. So I don't want to put down NXT, but I also want to say that I really want to see more from Sin Cara. I don't want his train to I don't want it to turn into a, you know, Shawn Michaels, Mara Jannetty situation where it's just, you know, the team's going to break up, not via heelish tactics, but they're going to break up, and then you're going to give Kalisto this, you know, this key to doing very well, and then Sin Cara, who isn't even the original guy who screwed up, quote unquote, you know, if you call screwing up, you know, not being able to do well in bad lighting with masks on, you know, it's not the original guy. It's a different person in the suit. So I feel as if it's wrong to say they're going to take over this role and not be buried, but still be put down because of it. You know, obviously Hunico did not choose to become Sin Cara, I assume.
No, and even if he did, his work since he has become Sin Cara has been great. So I don't really have – I agree with you. I mean, but I think that – I was mentioning this to Maddie during the show. I mean, when I look at someone, like, or a team, rather, like the Ascension, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I really feel like their ceiling is the tag team division. Because as singles wrestlers, they don't really impress me. And I look at Sin Cara and Kalisto, and I sit there, and I'm like, you know what? Both of these guys could work in singles. And I don't know why I feel that way. I do for Kalisto, but, like, I just feel like there's more potential there. I feel like Connor and Victor are a little bit limited in what they can do.
Well, that's it right there. Not only also do you have a bias, an understandable bias, towards the Cruiserweight division, but it's also because of the fact that, you know, again, you look at the division difference, and it's not the fact that all big guys can't work, obviously, but these two specifically have a feeling that, you know, if there ever were to be a singles-type situation, it would be the larger one. That's all I'm calling them, by the way. Not Connor and Victor anymore. Once they get to the main roster, it's the larger one and the not so larger one, right?
I think Victor has the hair, and Connor has the straight line cut thing.
Right. The point is that the largest one, right, will be the one that if they do ever split up the titles, could easily get a world heavyweight title thing just to become a transitional champion. You know, that's where I can see his fit. As of right now, with these two things, you know, combined as one giant title, one giant WWE swallowing up world heavyweight title, we're obviously only going to see them as tag team champions. Like, I do not see – also, their gimmick is also a bit, you know, different, where unless you want to see them as singles wrestlers just try to claim that they're taking over the globe, you know, there's no reason for them to even be in the United States or Intercontinental title picture with their gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they seem to be, like, they really remind me of a Kane and Undertaker type, but at the same time, you know, Kane and Undertaker as wrestlers had a lot more to go on to get into, you know, title picture. Where these two, you know, as of right now, I believe that they just better complement each other as a tag team, which is nothing wrong because, I mean, look at them. You know, they're great as a tag team. They really intimidate you and, you know, with the right storyline can really bring a nice, not obviously supernatural, but can bring a really nice, you know, kind of harsher tone to the, you know, this PG-type era that we're in right now.
Yeah, and the Fall of Man as a tag finisher, actually looks very visually pleasing.
Yeah.
And I like that because conceptually it also works. It's a clothesline followed by, like, a leg sweep, but, you know, simultaneously it should have hurt. They don't always execute it well, but it still looks very visually pleasing. And that's a good thing because every now and then, you know, this is wrestling, which means that, you know, it's not UFC where you sit there and you're like, no, win at all costs. You do want some entertainment value. So it doesn't hurt if you've got somebody with a more entertaining move than it is practical.
Exactly. You know, I mean, if we were trying to become UFC right now, every character wouldn't necessarily be a character so much as they would be Brock Lesnar close.
Pretty much.
So I'm really excited to be able to see a show where, and now, you know, not just for NXT, but in general, we can see people like Bray Wyatt and, you know, an Adam Rose and a Bunny. Sorry, everyone. I enjoy the Bunny. I enjoy Justin Gabriel doing super kicks. On the Heath later. Yeah. Also, I'm sure you've heard the, well, it's not really a rumor, but, you know, what Triple H wants to do with NXT and hopefully, and possibly in the future, they could tour. How do you feel about that? Because personally, I want to be against it. It would be nice to see NXT come to New York. That would be cool, you know, because, again, we're both in New York, but it would still be upsetting because, I mean, this crowd is just wonderful.
I don't think I want them to tour. I mean, right now, it's developmental for them. And one of the things they can count on is not having to deal with the rigor of travel and all that stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know, also, we had, you know, NXT was Florida Championship Wrestling. And they constantly had, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling, Ohio Valley Wrestling, they were set in these areas. And I know that it seems limited to say, like, oh, we should only do it there. But it's kind of like a traditional thing, and I'm okay with that. You know, Full Sail is a very, you know, there's always a good crowd down there, and it usually sells out. On top of that, again, the performers aren't going to have to deal with travel as they're learning the business and learning to be who they are. And I think that's a big thing, because I know that WWE, eventually they're going to have to deal with that kind of stuff. But I feel like if you put it all on one person at the same time, you could really be harming potential stars, you know? So
yeah.
I think it's okay to keep it in Full Sail. I'm okay with it being a brand, but I don't know if I like the idea of travel yet.
Yeah, the only way you could argue that, you know, that tour is acceptable, and this is where, the only way I would go for it, if not only did you make it a brand, but you made it like a, you know, like as I've heard some people refer to it as, if you can make it a, like an indie, you know, series with just a bit more cash, you know? If you did that and that's what you were really going for, then I guess I can understand the travel because some people may never make it up, and that's just fine because you look at some people like Sami Zayn, you look at some people, you know, maybe like even a Kevin Steen, and you worry that even though they have great skill, they make it up, they get lost in the shuffle, or they just, you know, they do get up there, but then all of a sudden it's just, well, but we have John Cena, well, but we have Roman Reigns. Why do we need certain people to be at the top when we have these people there as our top? You know, so sadly, some people could, in theory, be given a ceiling. You know, someone like Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is very lucky, even though he's so good at what he does. But he's lucky from a WWE, the way they look at their guys' perspective, that he was able to not only be in an era where Triple H is running NXT, but also be put into the Shield. You know, because he's so good at what he does. But I still don't put it past WWE to have done something stupid with Seth Rollins because of, you know, how he looks or something really, really, really stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be good that some people can just stay in NXT, and although it would be very, the only confusing thing would be, well, then where is developmental? But, you know, if they do end up, I would only be, if they're really going to just go all the way with this and say, listen, some people will come up, not everyone will, but it's okay because we'll still make this entertaining. We'll still only be doing very limited shows. It will only be television aired shows, so they won't, let's say, go the WWE route where it's just NXT Live, NXT taping. If they just go for maybe tours but NXT taping only, there's a chance they won't be as worked out, you know, worked as the WWE guys could be. Because I think that's the biggest issue, where it's just you end up having WWE guys doing Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, Superstars, and then WWE Live.
And sometimes NXT.
And sometimes NXT. And that's six shows right there. Obviously, not everyone goes through the six-show, you know, gauntlet. But
right.
You could technically be on half of those,
depending
on your role.
Which is a huge problem.
Yeah. You look at someone like Cesaro, and he could be on NXT. He could be on SmackDown. and then he could also be on Main Event, which is even scarier because SmackDown Main Event are on the same slot. So if not Main Event, just Raw. But the point is, that's Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday. Well, I don't even know when NXT airs. Tapes. So all I can tell you is that's 3 days a week of just, you got to go not only wrestle, but get on a plane to go over to that area.
NXT does tape only, like, at the moment, it is only taped once a month, remember?
Yes.
They do tape, tape four shows in a row. So
yes, but the unlucky week that Cesaro could be on three.
Yeah.
It's still an issue, of course. But,
Totally
yeah.
True.
So the point is that there are some benefits for going on the road, but of course there's a lot of negatives as well, especially for to some of these guys like Sami Zayn. And I truly think that, while of course he's amazing, it does help, at his work rate does help, where he isn't working as many shows as some of these people might be put through.
Correct.
Which worries me, because I it's getting to the point where if they really do want to do this to NXT, I'm okay with him staying on NXT. Just be a two-three-time NXT champion. That's all. Don't just stay at NXT forever and then never get something. That's silly. But,
I agree.
Because it helps tie in. The Ascension could be moving up because they lost their title, which, the rumors that if both Charlotte and Ascension were losing their titles, there's a very good chance they're being brought up, which, of course, scares me, because, first off, our tag team division isn't so good up there, right? And we're bringing in these guys, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to do very well with them, especially when, as you mentioned, they don't work as well, and recently that's what a lot of people on TV kind of focus on, whether you're either really entertaining on the microphone or you work well in the ring. That's why someone like Neville could say nothing but do the Red Arrow and everyone stood up on Raw.
And
so,
that was, it's weird for the Ascension, because logically I am not against the move of the Ascension up to the top, because in my head,
right.
First off, they're not going to get the whole 300-day reign that they did in NXT. One thing. Secondly, the tag team division could use the boost. And I'm not saying they're much of a boost, but, fresh bodies can change things up. So
true.
I'm not completely against it. And to be honest, they've served their purpose in NXT.
How would you feel, though, if they actually came in and completely dominated the Usos?
Well, that wouldn't be right. Because
right.
By doing that, because of the way you've booked the Usos, you've now completely delegitimized the entire rest of the tag team division. So I would hope that they come in, and they can work their way up. Like, I'm not saying, let's say, like, they come in and they beat Ryback and Curtis Axel, if they were still around. Let's just say, for example, they beat them. Or then they beat, do we have other face tag? The Matadors. They've already beat Los Matadors.
Right.
So they beat them again. Right? And then they get into a match, let's say, with, like, Stardust and Goldust, and they lose. But the next time around, the next pay-per-view comes around, and they're in the title picture, I wouldn't be that pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because they're heels, and I think we're really, because we have the Usos, Los Matadores, and, is that it for the faces? I mean, because you could argue that Big Show and Mark Henry are faces, but I don't know what they're going to be doing in the tag division. So,
well, yes. Big Show and Mark Henry are faces, so we have three face teams, and you could say we have the Usos, Los Matadores, and Big Show Mark Henry. On the heel side, not counting Ryback because he's absent, we have Goldust and Stardust, we have Slater Gator, and I don't believe we have a third. Oh, well, sorry. Wow. You see, again, what does Vince McMahon want me to do? What does WWE want me to do? Forget about the Wyatts.
Well, yeah, I know the Wyatts are heels. But
right.
I just...
So, no. Yeah, so we have three on
faces,
three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. But I named the faces, then I named
right.
the heels. So we have a nice little three-on-three kind of situation here, which is why I think they've been really trying to, tally them. So when Ryback left, they said, nope, we need another heel. Quick, turn someone. So now we have a nice 3-on-3. The heels there would really shake some things up. And, of course, we could have, these are the kind of heels, thankfully, that could fight other heels and just want to dominate. Therefore, it won't be such a situation, a bad situation to have them there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay if they start doing the heel versus heel thing every now and then. That's what I won't, you know, because if they're okay with that, then we could have some pretty interesting matches, and I'm down.
Yeah. So that match happened, right? Of course, the Ascension lost. By the way, before we even talk about the next match, I want to mention something interesting to anyone out there who might be fans of Tokusatsu. It was Kalisto who used, at first he just kind of did his own thing, but then he moved in the hand motion that he did, right? It looked like he was kind of like holding something in his hands the way he did it. It was very reminiscent, if anyone's ever seen Gosei Sentai Die Ranger, it was very reminiscent of Ryu Ranger, the Red Ranger in that series, who, by the way, the suit actor for that is also the same suit actor in Kamen Rider Ryuki for the main character, Ryuki, who also does a similar pose with his hands. In the opposite direction, but, you know, a similar pose. Very interesting and funny because, you know, you see this pose done, you're like, oh, yeah, you're like, it's pretty signature for me. And then I end up seeing Kalisto doing it, and I'm very confused, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's really nice to see if it is based on that or anything else that is more kind of like, you know, nerdy, kind of kung fu-esque. Really nice to see some of that blending in, you know, like kind of bleeding through. Because for a while, it felt like it was very much a quote-unquote man's game. And saying nothing bad about, you know, nerdy things as if they're not manly, but you know how certain kind of people think, you know? So it felt like the situation was, oh, you read comic books? Ooh, don't talk about that, you know, in WWE. You're going to get thrown around. Like, thinking of the whole Degeneration X kind of throwing around Michael Cole, you know, where it's just like you feel as if it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, the big boys, you know, just throwing around, like, these little guys. But it's like, no, you can actually have, you know, little nerdy things seeping through here or there. I mean, you know, Dolph Ziggler. Apparently Kofi Kingston is also a big nerd. Big E Langston liking My Little Pony, you know, things like that. AJ Lee being a nerd, but also being, you know, the women's champion, you know, nice things like that popping, you know, seeping through, which is always great. But now let's move on to CJ Parker versus Baron Corbin. You said there was no problem with this for you.
No, not at all.
Why, like, how you, like, why exactly? Because
so in the pre-show, we've got CJ Parker complaining and whining to William Regal. So Regal says, I'll give you a match. You don't know who the hell your opponent is. And we're led to believe that because of the fact that this guy gets no entrance, that he's going to be shit. So what does he do? Executes a perfect finisher.
Right.
To knock out CJ Parker, who is an established heel in NXT, but isn't like a big thing yet. You know where...
Of course.
He can easily bounce back from this and go, because his character is very entertaining, by the way, and his finishing move, the California Roll, I think he calls it Hyperdrive or something, is really nice.
Why is he not calling it the California Roll?
Because that's the original name. But
that's, for CJ Parker, that should be your name. It's between California Roll and the Tofu Driver. That's what you call something.
Yeah, I mean, but with CJ Parker, I mean, I'm okay with this because Baron Corbin looked very impressive, and I like that it went against the whole notion of, oh, random nameless person without an entrance, he's going to get squashed. You know, that was cool.
Oh, yes, no, that
and the
was
fact
nice.
That Regal,
yeah.
You know, made it, you know, they announced on commentary, and Regal, he wasn't supposed to know who his opponent was, so Regal purposely set him up to this to get his ass beat. So he picked someone who was going to be good. So, you know, Baron Corbin, that was a big television debut. That was pretty nice. Looked strong in 15 seconds. Took care of business and left. I thought that was pretty awesome.
When you word it like that, it does make it sound a lot better. I also was unable to see the, you know, pre-show, at least the part where good things happened. So, sadly, I didn't see any of that. So, for me, it felt as if, you know, CJ Parker comes out. Baron Corbin, who looks amazing, who I agree did look amazing. You know, his look, I like his look. Also, it just feels very real. It's just that for me, the reason why the squash match thing, you know, felt a little off to me because, again, the entire hour just felt off, and that kind of added to it for me because, you know, we kind of just have a squash match where I'm not a – I mentioned that Rusev was a bit more understandable, but I also just am not a fan of squash matches happening off, you know, off TV. And in theory, this is meant to be – even though it's special, it's meant to be like NXT's kind of pay-per-view. So I was hoping for, you know, a lot more – I can't really explain it, but of course we'll see more from Baron Corbin. Hopefully, because I want to see more. I will.
Yeah, you will.
That will make me
more from
want to watch
Corbin.
NXT. Good, good. Because that will make me want to watch, I will admit. So, in theory, they did a good job. But I'm still not the biggest fan of squash matches happening because I can't even say why. Because I understand that CJ Parker will come back. That's not even my main concern. It's just one of those pet peeves, you know, where it's just...
No, and it's okay. What it's worth, this is me... Mm-hmm. Do you understand? It's me saying this and liking CJ Parker. You know, I am in the minority of being a CJ Parker fan, which is a minority.
No.
You know, not many people like CJ Parker.
I understand. I'm a fan of him, at least as a character, where, you know, he...
Oh,
I haven't seen a lot of
his... hilarious, I think. There is no Planet B. And you know
exactly.
what? There is no Planet B. And I love that whole, there is no Plan B, you know, there is no Planet B.
Accurate.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
So
I like it.
Yes. No, as a character, he's great. I haven't seen much of his in-ring work, but I'll say that...
He's not bad.
You know, he's not bad? All right. So he could... I feel like he's a character who, in a way, could... Although, then again, that's who he is right now, sort of an NXT from what I've seen. But he could be someone on the main roster who might get jobbed out occasionally. What basically... And, you know, what they've kind of been doing with Adam Rose, in a way. You know, when they just out of nowhere... been, like, you know, taking him off TV and stuff. Like, I don't see, because I don't see CJ Parker being, you know, WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
No,
right?
But CJ Parker could be like Heath Slater to me, and I would love that.
Thank you.
I would absolutely love CJ Parker doing that. And, you know, eventually he's going to get into tag teams with people. He's going to have fun. He's going to have moments where people are going to be like, man, CJ Parker's kind of fun. Because he is, and he is a really cool finisher. So, I just, you know, I like him for that role. I like him for what he is. Also, his Twitter is WWE Moonchild, which is beautiful.
Oh, God, it's beautiful. But, so we move on from that to go to Lefort versus Enzo, which was, you mentioned, you texted me during the match, or at the end of the match. Can you remind me what you texted me? Because it was a perfect description of this match.
That was exceptionally average.
Thank you. Because that's what it was. It was not anything bad. It was really hard to find something. I don't think you can really find anything that was really that bad on this card.
No, that match was not impressive. It didn't stand out. There weren't anything, you know, and to be fair, it's weird because I was talking to Maddie before the show, and I was saying that Enzo's match was really important to me because charisma-wise, personality, cutting a promo, he has nothing to prove to me because he's superb at that, you know? And I was really hoping he could put on at least, like, an average, like, higher quality match. And I admittedly was a little disappointed because my fears were kind of realized that he is not that good in the ring right now.
Yes.
But
not
like, a bad, like, he's a bad worker.
No.
He's limited.
We're at a very bad point, I feel, in WWE history where we have so many good workers that it's just so hard to, you know, say like an average worker is bad because they're not bad. They're just average.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you, and Maddie, I know you're listening, so you could help me out here. I don't exactly know what Enzo's finisher is or if he has a defined finisher. And I've been watching NXT for a bit, but I just don't remember. I mean, I remember seeing him in the tag matches, and Cass usually does the big man finish, you know? And to be fair, by the way, the boot after the match, I heard that.
Yeah.
That was vicious. Crazy. Cass's boot is very, very well done. And it kind of made me scared for a minute because I was like, is he okay? Because that was a shot. And, you know, that being said, still really like Enzo and Cass, and the crowd is absolutely in love with them.
I really enjoyed, you know, this. I enjoy their charisma so much. You know, like, that's all I can really sit here and reflect. I just enjoy everything they do, and it would be upsetting if they, you know, just stayed in the mid card on if they ever get called up to the main roster. But what I will say though is, at least they're in the mid card here. Where there's some people that have been at the top of NXT that have been called, you know, onto the main roster. And it's really, really upsetting where they are now because of where they were then. You know, like you look at people like Big E and like Bo Dallas. You know, and I'm sure Bo Dallas is kind of making his way up. But it's really upsetting how, you know, with the way they've unified the titles, and I'll sound like a broken record, but it's just so true. With the way they've unified the titles and they don't have a brand split, right? It just feels as if it's just, you know, there's a ceiling for Bo when there shouldn't be. you know, there's a ceiling for certain people when there really shouldn't be. Like, I can see Cass right now, and again, just maybe it's just because of his size, but I really see him and I think world heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a guy who can dominate and say, you know, like, oh, you know why I have the championship? You know, it's like, oh, you don't have the championship, do you? No, no, you don't. You know why? Because you are SAWFT soft, you know, and just really going off on someone, and you think, you know, I mean, the guy's okay in the ring, but God, is that so fun, right? Because they're just very, very fun.
Yeah, and to be fair, I have to say, I mean, it's not like Cass is an exceptional worker in the ring either. You know, just how I criticize Enzo.
Yes.
But it's not like Cass is exceptional either. He has a very basic big man moveset. And it would be really unfair for me to look around and criticize Rusev and not criticize Cass because I like him, you know?
No.
But that
but
being said, you know, Maddie's right. Confirmed, by the way, Enzo doesn't have a defined finisher. He hasn't
That's
been booked
pathetic.
To use a finisher ever. And I thought I was dreaming that because I'm like, I've been watching NXT for a freaking long time, and I don't think
right.
I remember Enzo doing a finisher.
Right.
And,
Maddie, our fact checker, if anyone's just listening for the first time, hello, new listeners. But no, that is very interesting, and I don't know how to feel about that because
That's
just,
terrible.
You know,
how
really
is a guy
is
who's
because...
been in that many matches, even if it's just tag team stuff for the most part, he doesn't have
right.
a defined finisher. And they show, like, even when he wins sometimes in tag
mm-hmm.
matches, they're like,
yeah.
Enzo was caught from a crossbody, and then Cass booted somebody, and Enzo fell on him for the pin. You know, like, that was
yeah,
one
no,
of the most
I...
recent victories for them.
Yeah, no, I... He probably has a finisher backstage, but for some strange reason, they haven't given him a reason to use it, and I have no idea why.
Tonight, that's
I mean,
the thing. Tonight would have been the night to use it, because
of course.
You got the big time. That's why I was upset. I wanted that in the match, where even if it's like a freaking jumping neck break or anything like that, you know, something that I can look and say, Enzo Amore has a finisher, he used it, he won clean. Instead, they're booking him as basically a guy that can't wrestle and is hiding behind Big Cass, but talks a big game. And
yeah.
I don't like that
yeah.
because I don't need him to be champion of anything, but I need him to be a worthwhile threat that when he's in the ring, people don't say the team is just Cass and a liability.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I didn't see that during this match, which is a nice thing. I didn't see him as a liability, but I do agree with you, where they need to give him more because, you know, I don't like when tag teams split, and then, of course, you know, because sadly in this tag team, I do feel like Cass would be the one to get the push. But at the same time, there's, you know, it feels as if they want to set it up that way. Where it's just, well, if they split one day, Cass will get the push, and then Enzo will just be there. It's just, no, especially when these two guys, or they're just thinking, oh, they'll be together forever. I mean, their characters complement each other, which is true. Their characters complement each other. But if there's ever a need for a WWE-style magic wand gimmick change, you need to make sure that, you know, he can't just be sent down back to developmental. Like, if there ever calls with the top together, they can't just be, all right, we want to split you guys up. Cass, you will become something a bit different. Enzo, we don't know what you are yet. Go back
Here's
down.
The thing. Enzo and Cass, what also makes me so attached to this, not only are they New York and New Jersey guys, but they're real-life best friends. So
oh,
it's
that's nice.
Really... Yeah, they grew up together playing basketball in the streets of New York. Cass grew up not too far from you or I. And it's really tough for me to sit there and think, damn it, these guys are best friends. You can see that they have the chemistry, you know, that's needed from best friends. Like, it's so easy to see that. And I want them to be better ring workers. I want them to be booked a little bit differently in the ring because
yeah.
I want them to be something meaningful. I really feel attached to them, you know,
for
many reasons that may transcend wrestling, but still.
Yes, I do think, though, that if, of course, they're going to get better. I mean, this is NXT. But I will say that even if it isn't to a point that is just, you know, of course, extraordinary, which, again, we're not asking for that, but still, you know, some wrestlers can really improve. I mean, we're not saying The Miz is the best wrestler ever, but at the same time, he's a lot better than you thought he would be 5 years ago.
That's
you know,
definitely correct.
The work. Yes. So, you know, I still think, though, that with their personality, with their charisma, at the very least, they can entertain so much that I do feel like they can entertain their way into a tag team title picture on the main card. Just an accidental whoops-a-daisy, you know, we're here. And you sit there and you go, damn it. Like, you know, how did this, damn it.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, especially if they had split the tag titles again. Because when we had two tag titles, Enzo and Cass are perfect examples of who could be tag team, champions on either show. because
I don't think there needs to be a tag team split, because sadly we, you know, but I will admit that if they made more tag teams, you know, they for some reason have really cut down on their tag teams, splitting a lot of people, giving a lot of people pushes, keeping a lot of people held back a bit. So as of right now, I don't think they need another tag team championship on the scene. But I will admit, though, that, yes, if they had two, and if they had that lovely brand split, thumbs up t-shirt available.
I won't fight for the tag team split, but, like, in my head, it fits. And another thing that, about them that, you know, we talk about, and I just mentioned before, they are incredibly over, which is a big thing.
Oh, my God.
Because you don't, you know, not everybody has their charisma, and even though they're not the greatest workers, it is important to take advantage of your clientele in terms of the sense that if they want to worship Enzo and Cass, give them some Enzo and Cass.
Exactly.
You know, so, but we'll see what happens from here. I'm glad Enzo got the win, even though it was kind of weird. I'm, to be honest, very, very uninterested in Marcus Louis and Sylvain, the new La Resistance, whatever.
I enjoy them. Here's why I enjoy them. I enjoy them because you always need someone who you can just genuinely, like, hate as heels. And also, sometimes it just comes very easily to us in life. And I feel, and I know it's upsetting to say because I always talk about, you know, Russia saying, like, oh, well, why are we being racist towards Russia and whatever? Because, you know, I understand that, yes, you know, Rusev and Lana are being mean, but let's not just go, screw you, Russia, right, because whatever. But with the French, it just seems like such a pop culture joke for so long that it's just, who are we going to make the heels? The French? Why the hell not?
Maybe they appeal to you more than me because it's more of an apathy for me. Where I just sit there and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just don't get a vibe from them that makes me think these guys should be on the main roster.
Well, no, of course not. You see, first, and that's, I think, the thing, where if they do ever get to the main roster, I feel like they're the ones who I understand will immediately take up a Heath Slater, you know, 3MB type role, and I would be just fine with that. Because I'm sorry, you know, it's weird. I just don't see them as, which is kind of weird to say, but I mean, you know, sadly, not everyone can just, you can look at them and be like, oh, well, they're obviously top tier or even upper, you know, mid-card tier. Like, no, those guys, I can see them as a bit of fodder, which is fine because, I mean, you know, people like that exist. You know, not, you know, even though it is NXT, still you're going to have a bit of that. I mean, they never even graduate because maybe it's just they're better as, you know, French people on NXT compared to being, you know, on the main roster. So be it.
Yeah.
You know, I would be fine with that. And I mean, I will say this much, though. When they came out, I just loved how even though LaForte's friend, I can't believe the name is escaping me.
Marcus
the point
Louis.
Is that, thank you. Even though he was not set to wrestle that night, they still looked at him and said, we need to make sure everyone knows you're French. I mean, the outfit he came out in was beautiful.
I'll give you that. I mean, I just, it's weird. I don't know if, what it is, but I just feel an extreme apathy towards them in a similar way that I feel about Mojo Rawley. Outside of, like, you know, his benefit for, like, making get hype, stay hype jokes. But
I like Mojo. Well, here's the thing. I didn't get seen enough of Mojo Rawley tonight to really say that I love him. I haven't been given enough in-ring work with him to say that I love him. I just really enjoy his enthusiasm. But again, of course, you know, I usually focus more on how people act or their characters because, you know, I really enjoy the idea of just, you know, here's some two French characters that are just being completely snooty. Like, I find it funny. And I think that might be, but I'm, in no way, though, am I saying that they deserve to be the tag team champions because they do not. And in no way am I saying Mojo Rawley deserves to be the NXT champion. If Mojo Rawley, you know, unless he gets a lot better, becomes the NXT champion, a lot of good people have been called up. You know, that's where we go with that, where it's just Mojo Rawley's our champion. All right, this is a Ring of Honor low period. Everyone go home. Cancel their network subscription. You know, unless, of course, he gets a lot better, which can happen because, again, NXT. But yeah, I really enjoy this crowd, and I mentioned it before, and I'll say it again. I mean, the fact that Connor and Victor, right, people who you could also, in a way, feel apathy for if you wanted to. You know, where it's like you enjoy things about them, but if, again, in the ring, you could be like, you know, just the fact that the crowd goes, yeah, 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 for everything.
The one thing that I like about that, by the way,
Mm-hmm.
When there's a pin, they chant Yah instead of 1, 2, 3.
I was going to say that as well. That's one of my favorite things.
That made me generally laugh, just like the pin.
Yeah.
Yah, Yah. Oh. I was like, oh, my God.
That was really beautiful. Because it's grown, because I don't remember that at the first takeover event. I just remember, you know, yeah, 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 and I don't remember it for the pin. I just remember maybe like 1, 2, or it wasn't there at all. But it's as if the crowd, because, you know, they get to know them, has just picked it up, where it's just, you know what, how are we as a crowd, as a unit, going to take this enough, you know, to the next level? And it's pretty much just yeah at every point that they can.
Yeah, the crowd is pretty awesome, and I like that they make me want to care about characters more, too. You know, they gave Adam Rose the love that he needed to succeed. They give Enzo and Cass everything, and I really like that, because it's so much fun to be Enzo and Cass. I mean, honestly, I loved trying to be Enzo in the beginning. Like, it really made me kind of feel good for a bit, and I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, what I would like to say about, you know, about them, too, is that what I like is that, you know, what I enjoy is that they look like characters who, they won't be pushed to the top because of obvious, you know, like, attitude in their characters, but that's what's nice about some characters, where these guys, they can be over as faces, but at the same time do things like, you know, oh, he won by a roll-up, and I'm not sitting here going, you know, the problem is, because neither of them have a bunny. You know, they come out, they go, hey, you know what, like, yeah, like, we're, you know, cheer for us, yeah, sure, of course, yeah, cheer for, you know, we're from Brooklyn, you know, New Queens, yeah, but we're still going to kick your ass, though. And I like that kind of, because, I don't know, something about it just feels obviously real, a bit more Attitude Era-esque, but it's good that they're starting down there, rather than just taking a guy like Adam Rose, who, from what I've seen, was just, yeah, party time all the time, and also, sometimes, we like to beat people up when they're down. And it's like, you know, like, you kind of step back, you're like, if you don't beat people up when they're down, kids, you're a fucking lemon. Like, cut the commercial, you know?
To be fair, one of the things that I really do appreciate about Enzo and Cass is that they're given the ability to say ridiculous things. Like, you know, like what I mentioned before, but also, tonight in Fallout, and I'm not sure if I heard this correctly, but I swear that Enzo said to Renee, he's like, I'm the type of guy that would like to run down the beach and jump into my own arms. He's like, but I can't do that. And Cass in the background is like, if anybody could do it, it'd be you, Enzo. And I lost it. I was like, God damn it. It was such a lie. So I couldn't stop laughing. I missed the rest of the interview. Because, like, what in God's name are they allowed to say? Exactly, right? Like, what a fucking lie.
It's really nice, I feel, to be able to have these characters, you know, again, be themselves, be just so funny and just out there. Like, you know, again, it reminds of me how you and I would be if we were ever given, you know, the opportunity to just be given a microphone like that. You know, just really funny, but at the same time, be able to not be treated as jokes, which is why, you know, and I think I said this about them, but if I didn't, I'll say it now. I'm okay with them staying down at NXT. If the alternative is, oh, that's awesome, they go up there by making funny jokes, let's make them the joke, because they are. It's like, no.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, I know that they need time in NXT, and I'm just hoping to see some improvement.
Well, yeah, in their in-ring skills.
Yes. That's it, because charisma, they have it down to a letter. It's impressive.
Oh, yeah. Again, reminds me of us. We would just be perfect on the microphone, I feel. You know, and again, I don't have much experience, but I'm just saying, I feel like we'd be very funny and charismatic, but then throw us into a wrestling ring. And, of course, they're better than us at this point, obviously. But still, I feel like that's where we would be at a certain point, where it's just,
since I've got all my injuries and shit, I would gladly be Enzo for the rest of my life. And I mean that.
Right.
Like, if you ever need me to be the Enzo to your cast, I would gladly do it. You have no idea.
As we're talking about this, I will be uploading A Whole New World to play as our ending theme. Because just the way you worded that made me think of A Whole New World. Also, speaking of something in a way related yet not at all, how did you feel about the switch-up with the hair thing?
I don't know if I liked it. And I don't know if Marcus Louis actually lost his hair. Did he actually lose his hair? It looked like he did.
It looked like he did, yes. I mean, he lost his eyebrows.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, add some dedication to your stuff. I mean, John Cena was never asked to, like, lose his hair.
Well, I think he was at one point. If you saw him as the prototypes. It wasn't the prototype. It was actually, he sat at a computer. He sat at a typewriter, and he just typed. His first match against Shelton Benjamin, he was just typing. His debut match, or rather his dark match against Shelton Benjamin, he was just typing on a typewriter. So, yeah, John Cena used to be the prototype. So he had kind of a weird hairstyle, a bit swaggerish, and he ended up cutting that. So maybe he has been asked to cut his hair. I don't know.
I don't believe it. But it was weird for me. I mean, I guess it was just a matter of, like, you know what? Enzo was, like, saying that we need to see somebody go bald. And I just loved it because I thought he was going to spell that earlier. And I was really glad when he stopped. He's like, I got a new words for you. B-A-W-L-D. Bald. I was like, fucking hell. Because anything that they do, the crowd will eat it up. And I will, too. Because it's pretty funny.
Of course. That's the thing. They're just so good. I mean, they really had me, you know, the fact that they even had a segment, but it was just really good where it was just, oh, yeah, you know, like, what are these two doing? Like, oh, they're crawling up the building by now. Sees them in the distance.
By the way, their faces when they saw were beautiful.
Were brilliant.
It was just a matter of, like, they found the Holy Grail.
It was just, it was, I love them so much. And, you know, we can talk about them all night because we really can. But we should be moving on, sadly. So we have to talk about Kenta. And sadly, my computer overheated during Kenta. So please explain, or at least talk about what you enjoyed. Tell me about Kenta, but talk about what you enjoyed from that Kenta exchange.
Yeah, so first off, you know, we had William Regal bring in Kenta, as you all saw, and it was nice to finally see Kenta on TV. By the way, Kenta's a very attractive man. I have no qualms in saying that. A very attractive man, looks great in the suit.
Oh, yeah.
So he comes out there, and what was weird for me in the beginning, and I said this to you, is that he cut a very lengthy bit of his promo in Japanese. And while I have no problem with that, because this was his first televised appearance, myself and the crowd felt a little awkward and confused because he followed that up with a little bit more talking and not like, this is what I just said. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't have done that because I don't know what he said, and I'm 99% sure it was probably beautiful and something to his home country and where he used to work, you know. So I would never want him to take away from that. That was just weird to start out with. Now, when he did start talking, he mentioned that he is going to be changing his name. According to him, this is a name change to his hero, or, you know, as a tribute to his hero, and he's going with Hideo Itami. And now, I know that our fact checker, our friend here, doesn't like that at all. And so we have no confirmation either way whether WWE made him do that or he did it on his own. And to be fair, I frankly don't care.
Because of what he did after.
Oh, yes. Because, and the whole and interaction with the Ascension, who was billed as a very powerful tag team, when he fights them off and then just sits in the ring powerfully on this chair, just bring it, come at me. It was powerful. It was great. And this is a guy where, look, I'm glad they're not calling him Jimmy Wang Yang, you know?
Right.
But I'm not pleased with the fact that he's not Kenta. I'll be honest with you. But at the same
time, remind me, the name is Hideo
Itami.
Right.
And, you know, I frankly don't care what they call him because he is going to dominate for a while. I mean, Kenta is one of the best wrestlers I have ever watched in a match. He is absolutely talented. This is a guy who innovated the GTS, popularized the running knee that Daniel Bryan used, and created an alternate version of the GTS after he created the GTS himself. He has mastered so many submissions, techniques, moves, holds, everything. I have been so impressed with his work. He's a legend. And he still has a chance to show that for a few years here. And that really excites me. So I really don't care if they're calling him that because, one, it actually could be his decision based on what he said in the promo, which would be fine. And two, I know that he's going to be thrust into the main event scene quickly and he's going to impress everybody. And by then, they're not going to care what they're calling him.
pretty much. I mean, you know, like you, what you mentioned, what he did, sounds like it's able to easily negate, kind of like a Raw situation where he's able to easily negate what just happened. So, I mean, that's interesting. That's nice. Strangely, though, I'm looking and I cannot find a Hideo Itami who is not Kenta.
Oh, I can't find... None of us have been able to pinpoint what he was like or who he was referring to, by the way.
Maybe... I don't want to say it's a language barrier because I don't want to get into that, but there's a chance that he may have been trying to say that, like, because, okay, some people might take, let's say, parts of things they enjoy and mesh it together, you know? Where, you know, like, you could be, like, let's say, like, you want to make your name fetish like Silver Fox because you enjoy this and this. So... He could, in theory, be mushing things together, but because
he obviously knows English.
I think
he is, because I don't think, like, okay, let's say I idolize Daniel Bryan, right?
Right.
I wouldn't sit there and make, in tribute to him, my name Daniel Bryan, because I'm not worthy to call myself Daniel Bryan because I'm not Daniel Bryan. I may call myself, like, Ram Danielson or something, just making the joke here, because of the fact that I wouldn't copy the name exactly. So I assume it's a Hideo or an Itami, like one or the other that he's referring to. And I'm sure that with time we'll get more on if he actually is referring to somebody, a mentor of his or something of that nature. I mean, I'm not going to be happy if I find out that this was a WWE-mandated change. But
no. What's very interesting, I think, is the fact that when you look up Hideo, the first thing to come up is Kojima, the man who created Metal Gear Solid.
Right.
So it also makes you wonder, is Kenta also a nerd? Can we just get a bunch of nerds in a nerd table right now?
Is Kenta Metal Gear Solid? Then we'll have to find out. What we do know is that he'll be debuting next week on NXT, and something that I am extremely excited about.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's already, you know, debuting so soon, as we talked about on another one of our shows, it shows how good that he is, you know, and the fact that hopefully he kind of gets this push up relatively quickly because, you know, we don't want his talent to be wasted. Even though he will be Hideo, you know, Kojima, yeah, Hideo, still, it's upsetting. I know it would be very upsetting, you know, to have his talent wasted regardless of the name. But, of course, you know, this name, I assume it wasn't his own choice, but I really think that, from what you sound, he sounds like he made it clear, but obviously there's still always a hint, of, you know, is it real, is it not real? But, I mean, we don't know as of yet. Hopefully it was completely on his end because he wanted to take a new persona and conquer it as a new person, you know? Because, I mean, I have to say, while I would like to take, you know, one unified character throughout all of the events via the indies and WWE, sometimes it would be really cool for one reason or another just be like, actually, now let's just pretend that I'm crazy. You know what I mean? Like, let's just pretend that I snapped and now I am something man, you know? I mean, the fact that we've had, you know, a Christopher Daniels as Curry Man.
Curry Man, right.
You know, once he went to Japan, which really fits very well. You know, especially, I mean, that's the, you know, Japan, remember, they had Ultimate Muscle, Kanikuman, which became, you know, some of the characters in there were like Ramen Man and things like that. So it's just really nice to me, which is, it feels natural. And so in theory, he could just be saying, you know what, I like these people, let me make my change.
Yeah, and to his credit, I mean, in terms of powerful debuts without actually having a match, that was really well done. So,
exactly.
You know, kudos to him for being able to, and just his facial expressions, he does a lot of things right. And this is something that goes without saying. I mean, he is an absolute legend, and I'm really happy to see him on WWE television.
Yes. So, as I mentioned, my laptop overheated. I could not see the Kenta section. But, however, I started it up right back in the middle of Dempsey versus Mojo. How did you feel about that match? Because from the 30 seconds that I saw, I enjoyed what I saw of Mojo more than what I've seen previously. Then again, the last time I saw him, he was getting squashed by Rusev. I enjoyed Dempsey, and I've seen him beforehand, so I really enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed Dempsey. But what did you think of the match? Do you think it was long? Was it, you know, did I catch 30 seconds out of a full minute match? What did I?
Yeah, miss? You caught like 30 seconds out of what might have been a 2 minute match.
That's awesome.
It was a very quick, I don't know if, you know, if it was just me feeling that way. But it felt like a pretty much domination. And, you know, this was because they have a lot of faith in Bull Dempsey.
Right. So then clearly I jumped in during a, oh, Mojo's getting his comeback scenario, and then Dempsey destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, that's upsetting for Mojo. I understand their faith in Dempsey. I do think he has the ability from his look and from what he's, you know, and from what he's said and everything. I do think he does have the ability to become the next Taz. Not saying he is, but he does have that potential, which is nice.
If for me, the comparison I made, and I thought, I think he can become Vader Light.
Or that as well.
Yeah, and that's a big comparison for me to make, you know, so I'm not going to hold that. But he is very agile for a man of his size, and I'm actually very impressed with that. So I think, and I think he's raw, by the way. I do think he's raw. But I think with some training, he could become Vader Light. And Vader was a very impressive guy who could move fast and do jumps even at his weight. So I do think Bull could be. And people like chanting the whole, like, Bull, Bull, Bull thing. And I didn't like it at first. And I was like, you know what? People like it. He's not as bad as I thought he was. So maybe. You know, and he won the match with that top rope shoulder, you know, dive, which was kind of cool. So,
Which reminds me, by the way, something really funny. If Kenta's change was WWE mandated, right, it's really hilarious how it's just, Kenta, Kenta, Kenta. Nope, too easy to chant, too easy to market, too easy to put on T-shirts. Let's put something needlessly complicated that would at the very least cause general fans in the USA to riot and be like, what is it? It's Heidi-O? Heidi? Is his name Heidi?
Yeah, you know, but we'll see what happens.
I know, it's just really funny in that way, where it's just, I'm assuming it has to be, I know we talk about the incompetence of the WWE all the time, but it has to be Kenta wanting a change. Has to be. Can in no way be, I mean, just from a marketing perspective, Kenta. Kenta on the front, on the back, take your ass.
Yeah, and it's just, it's definitely weird. I mean, he originally adopted the name Kenta because of his trainer, Kenta Kobayashi. It's funny, I was just about to ask Maddie to check that, and then I realized that she had already texted me saying, it doesn't make sense because he was trained by Kenta Kobayashi. You're a mind reader, Maddie. I'm very happy. But,
yeah, then I understand. So hopefully then it is a change based on, oh, I'm picking something that I enjoy, like other things that I enjoy.
Well, we'll find out.
I mean,
with time,
yeah,
we'll find out. But to be honest, I'm not as hurt about the change because I think it'll be a good thing. Because I don't mind whatever they're calling him, as long as it isn't like Jimmy Wang Yang, because of the fact that I know the second he gets in the ring, even if you're chanting Kenta, he is going to dominate, and I'm going to be extremely impressed and happy and giddy.
Of course. Right. That's, in theory, that is all that matters. It's just strange that, it's also strange that you announced, like, we picked up
Kenta Kobashi,
the next
Kenta
week.
Kobashi. Kenta is Kenta Kobashi was the trainer. Kenta is Kenta Kobayashi. I said that wrong. I'm very sorry.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize that you said that. It all made sense to me. Clearly. You see,
that's completely my fault. Thank you for the correction. But, Kenta Kobayashi is Kenta. I was like, fuck, he is. Damn it.
It's just very strange, I feel. Because I know, time will tell. It's just very interesting because, you know, again, it's just like, you know, we've brought in Kenta. And then next week, Kenta who? And then
that's interesting is that I wonder what it'll do for, you know, Fergal Devitt and Kevin Steen.
Well, it's obviously Steven Kevinson.
Which is okay, because that would be funny as hell, honestly. If it was like Steven Kevinson or Steen-Yo Kevinson, I would laugh so hard. But
I would be overjoyed.
Don't know what they're going to do, but I just hope it's not something too far. Because the thing about, too, is like chanting Kent is easy. Chanting Kill Steen Kill is also extremely easy. And even if you want to make it Fight Steen Fight, that's fine by me. But, you know, you got to keep the Steen. You got to do that. With Devitt, I mean, it's a bit more, you've got some potential things you could do there, but I'll see what happens. I mean, we'll see.
I think we should make Steen into John the Steen Bradford. We should give him a British accent, and we should make him feel as if he's better than everyone.
Okay.
I hear crickets in the distance. Okay, So, how did you, all right, Bayley versus Charlotte, right, before the match itself, right, I saw that promo.
Well, we're already here, aren't we?
Yeah, that's how weird this night was. That's
yeah, well, the
like,
first hour went by super quick, which is,
yeah.
like, you know, and that was why it didn't exactly, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on that wasn't exactly great. That being said, we are at the Meteor Awesomer part of the night, so let's jump
yeah.
into that.
So their promo that really tried to, you know, show how, you know, both women have got to this point, I don't know about you, but that immediately, because I haven't seen much of NXT, you know, before jumping into these specials. I know things, but I haven't seen as much. So it just made me immediately fall in love with, you know, Bayley's story and her getting to this point.
Bayley is one of the most lovable human beings I have ever had the pleasure of watching on television.
Yeah.
It is impossible to dislike her almost because she just, and, you know, and she talks about, like, how, if she talks about winning, she compares it to when Shawn Michaels finally won the title. It's like,
yeah.
one, you know she's a fan. Two, you already know she's a fan just by the way that she talks about the business and how long she says, you know, since 11 years old she's had this dream. I mean, she's just so goddamn likable. And then what's great about it is that she's good in the ring.
Yeah.
So it's so easy to like her.
There's just so much about her, and it's just, you know, I really enjoy her as a character, and it's just, you know, and again, if you, let's say you didn't, let's say you just kind of walked in going, oh God, that annoying girl that I saw hugging AJ once, right? Then you hear her story. You hear Charlotte and everything, and you just, here's the thing. The fact that even if, let's say, Paige and AJ were given the chance to kind of dominate a bit more, they don't really put a lot of effort, I feel, into their promos. They did for when Paige first appeared because they had to, you know, promote their new talent. But afterwards, I don't think I've really seen a convincing, you know, promo between two of them fighting at a pay-per-view as of late. You know, it's really, and maybe that's also because of the fact that, you know, a lot of the content in it is also just, I'm crazy. Well, I'm crazier. Watch this match. We're here.
Yeah, that's
just,
the thing. I mean,
yeah.
They hyped this as if it was like an end-all, be-all, like a WrestleMania match. And that was great because it made people more interested. And they were pretty much interested to begin with, you know.
Of course.
Very interesting two performers here who are very easy to get behind. You look at Bayley and, you know, you look at the promo and you sit there and it's like, how can you not cheer for Bayley right now? How can you not really want her to succeed?
If you didn't cheer for Bayley, right, you either, of course, are a Charlotte just complete lover, which is fine because I also love Charlotte. But I couldn't see her win for this. It was actually one of those times where it's just, nope, I couldn't. Like, I was rooting for Charlotte against, you know, Natalia. Obviously, Natalia is also a bit better than the NXT Women's Championship if you're considering NXT developmental. But also the sheer fact that just I really love Charlotte. You know, I was cheering for Charlotte when I saw her live, Madison Square Garden, which, you know, it's one of those situations where it's just, we weren't that close, but you want to hope that she heard, you know, where it's just, hey, listen, all these other people are John Cena fans that don't know who you are, like children, but I do. And of course, you know, some our co-host, Ashley Colpan, who's on and off on some of our shows, she was there with me, and she, you know, we both just cheered for Charlotte, which was just wonderful, because seeing her there was, you know, and live, she did very well. So I'm a fan of hers, but just hearing Bayley's story and feeling as if, I have to admit, it sucks me in. It made me a mark for this one match, which is very hard to do because we're doing a podcast on this stuff, talking about all the backstage this and that and this and that and people growing and developing and blah, blah, blah. And yet we can sit here and just go, nope, I voted for Bayley. You know, I believe in her story. So, yeah, you're either a huge Charlotte fan or you're an edgy teenager who's just, oh, yeah, she smiles. Screw her. Woohoo, Charlotte, the heels. I only vote for the heels because they're so much cooler.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
I just think anyone with a heart can really fall for the Bayley story
exactly.
and fall for Bayley as a character. And the match that they put on was great. You know, and I love the whole you've earned my respect aspect. I always like when that happens. And
yes.
Secondly, I really loved the finish where she puts the moonsault on her. That could finish a lot of matches, and Bayley just stares her down. So she has to result to this other finisher, but the stare down was great because it was sort of like, I'm not done yet. You have to hit me with your best shot. And
yeah.
It was a well-worked match. It was just overall so impressive. I was very pleased.
There was, there was so much good in this match, which is why up until the main event, which we assumed it was going to be the best there because, you know, very, very great competitors in that match, four of them, you know. But still, seeing this match, it was just the highlight of the night, which I will admit is a bit worrisome in the sense that I'm worried that they might be falling into WWE habits where it's just, all right, I mean, here's the thing. There were entertaining aspects, so we couldn't say that we weren't entertained, but it's really strange where it's just, yep, focus, you know, give whatever matches the longest time, you know, blah, blah, blah. The only good thing that's completely anti-WWE is that the women got a lot of time, and because of the fact that, I mean, the women were doing, you know, the title match, you know, you're going to open up with the tag team titles to try, you know, with the athletic stylings of, you know, of the luchas, you know, with them, you can have a lot of movement and a lot of people getting, up, you know, up from their seats and going, yeah, and then you wait till later, and then bam, women's title, and it's very long. I mean, that was a long match, and they did very well in it, which is also great.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them, if you give them the time, they will reward you.
Yeah, and it's just one of those situations where you just really got to sit there and just go, guys, like, you know, on top, guys, you have people on your roster right now. I know you're not too high on Emma, but if you tried, right, to kind of get past the whole, oh, it was a freaking accident. At least I assume it was still. But we still assume it's an accident because we haven't been told otherwise. But, you know, you could maybe use her and Paige, you know, or Paige and AJ, or, you know, Emma and AJ, because, you know, it's upsetting that I was talking to one of my kids. I work speech and debate. I was talking to one of my kids, and he's also a wrestling fan, and he wasn't talking badly about the women, but he just did not understand that, you know, some of them are a lot better than what they're showing on TV. And only because he was like, yeah, I mean, I don't really see much wrestling, you know, goodness out of AJ. And I was like, well, actually, it's because of the fact that they don't want you to, you know? Now, I'm not saying AJ is the second coming or anything, but she's still pretty good in the ring.
Yeah.
But you can't really see that because of the fact that they're booked in such short matches at such times that it's just, you know, it's baffling, and it's outright, you know, sexist at certain points where it's just, you know, six-man tag match, 20 minutes, main event, level players, whatever. You know, six-woman tag match. Well, you said the magic word women, so about 2 minutes there. It's, you know, and there's no clear winner either. So it's very upsetting. So thankfully NXT has it right, which is why, again, happy at where they are right now for some of them. In a way, I'm happy that Charlotte won because she won't be called up. I have to be honest.
She gets to be herself now with Banks and Bayley down there. I do think Bayley's going to be the one to beat her, by the way. Like, it's a story, just it makes itself, where Bayley's going to have to beat Charlotte, and that'll be her eventual move up to the roster, which is, you know, fine by me.
Yeah, it could be in a couple months from now in their next, you know, for their next special. Takeover 3 to take it, you know. So it would be very interesting to see that in the future. And, of course, now we move on to our main event.
Certainly.
Not yet.
You know. What?
Because there's one thing I want to, there's actually one thing I want to mention, which is great.
I hate you.
We're moving here. Actually, never mind. Take it back. Was it just me, or did you see a nice Macho Man reference from Bayley?
Remind me, because I may have missed this.
Well, to me, it felt Macho Man-esque, or it could be the what she had on her. Okay, I can't even think of the word. It looked like streamers that she had.
Yeah.
On her, I was thinking Macho Man. Am I wrong in thinking that?
I can't confirm either way.
Well, Macho Man has had that in the past, correct?
Yes.
That's what I'm. So, in theory, because it kind of brings home that whole wrestling fan, because she mentioned Shawn, she comes out with that. And it's just like, oh, that's nice.
I don't know. I mean, it could just be a look thing. I'm not going to speculate too much on that.
Right. But, I mean, hey, we had a really cool Fatal 4-Way after that, right?
Are we actually talking about it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Oh, wait, one more thing. No, I'm kidding. Go.
Yeah, this
Please.
Was definitely the main event in every sense of the word. And
I
was really impressed with the ring psychology and the way that they sat down and booked this match. Because for each one of the people in this match have something about them that they can really excel at. I mean, you look at Tyson Kidd is the most technically skilled wrestler in that ring at that time. He is an incredible striker in terms of knees and elbows and punches and kicks. It's amazing. You look at Neville, and he is the high flyer of the group. He's got that down the most. Tyler Breeze is the best character actor of all of them. And then Zane is all around probably the most talented and perhaps has the most storied career ahead of him. He's also the most experienced. So each of these wrestlers can contribute something to a match, and they really let Tyson Kidd dominate this match for a bit in a way that he'd never been given this kind of a chance before. And I thought he was very impressive. Just the strikes were clean and solid. They looked good. He was in control of, you know, the ring in terms of like a dominance thing. That was really cool to see. And we still got a lot of spots from everyone else that really fed this match and made it a quality viewing.
I pray, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but I pray that people, you know, from what they've seen on Monday, go, you know what, maybe I should at the very least borrow the network from someone I know and see how it is a bit, you know, before I buy it. And then they take a look at NXT, you know, because being able to, if you're a wrestling fan, at least, you know, for a couple years now, and you may have not exactly seen, you know, you might be a fan of a couple of years, but you're still young, let's say, or a bit younger, or you're just not really a guy or girl who kind of goes into the background like we do and sees all this, the inner workings. So you might be like, yeah, Tyson Kidd. Wow, that guy sucks. Right? This Tyson Kidd, what has he done lately? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the WWE just hires really bad wrestlers. It happens, you know? I mean, hey, he's not even a big guy, am I right? And then you got to watch this, and you thought, damn. So damn, because he really flourished in this match.
He was on fire at certain points, and I was very impressed, because I'll be honest with you, I can understand how some people may not have liked that match, because ring psychology is not always something that everyone appreciates, you know, because the pacing of the match was altered by that. The beginning parts of the match were slowed down for that, you know, for him to have his moments. And I can understand if you say you don't like that. I, on the other hand, do. I think that was really great storytelling in ring. And I enjoyed every second of it, beginning to end.
I guess I can understand if you don't like it, but I really enjoyed it. You know, I feel as if it's something we need a bit more in terms of, you know, matches that involve more than two people in it. You know, where we need this idea of, you know, yeah, people can rest, obviously, but I really enjoyed it right from the get-go. It felt as if everyone wanted to take a bit of each other out, where it wasn't just, oh, no, someone was kicked in the head. Damn, they're going to be out. You know, where you look at something like Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and while that wasn't a bad match at all, they had so many excellent spots. At certain points, it was just, oh, like, you know, you could tell, okay, that person's going to be out for another 5 minutes. And
yeah,
it felt like they were.
The only time they did that here, I think, was Tyler Breeze had a little bit too much time outside the ring sometimes.
Yeah.
And that disappointed me a little bit, but they made up for it. I mean, there was some really impressive stuff going on in terms of first we've got Kidd and Breeze working together, and then we've got Kidd working alone dominating. You know, Sami Zayn with his comebacks. Adrian Neville was, again, very impressive as he always is because aerial-wise, I mean, he's one of the best workers we've ever seen.
There's just so much good in this match where I feel like if you didn't appreciate this match, I feel like there's a chance you, and I mean as a whole, like I understand you not liking certain things, but as a whole, if you said, you know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like you've just in a way been, sadly, you've been conditioned to like, you know, certain type of, you know, matches. And it just, and maybe it's also because we just really enjoy the competitors in this match where they had enough spots, I feel, to at least keep it going. Especially, you know, speaking of the beginning again, the reason why I really like the fact that everyone just kind of went after each other, even outside the ring, is because it's such a, and which is another reason why, now is a reason why I do feel like, oh, they could go on tour, but here's where it would be a problem, where they have such a limited space, which is so good because one camera shot could get both in your view, where you go, oh, awesome, I can see the fight behind them, where if it was on Monday Night Raw, you're only seeing one fight at a time, and what you're missing, especially from guys like Neville and Zayn, could be a highlight of the match.
Yeah, and there were some really excellent spots in this match. One of them Adrian Neville's moonsault off the ropes, because he got incredible height. And another one, I think one of my favorite spots, was Breeze's dropkick on the incoming Neville.
Right.
Which looked really impressive.
I can't even say. Oh, I really enjoyed when Zayn was about to jump out of the ring and then immediately was shocked because I thought Neville was going to take him out. But no, he goes out to take out the two outside the ring.
Yeah,
and it was so quick.
Yeah, the moonsault. That was so cool because Zayn froze because he's like, fuck, and then Neville flips outside with a perfect moonsault. And it just, you know, and of course, you know, finishing with the red arrow, it was weird because there are points in the match where I sat there and I really wanted Sami Zayn to win. And, you know, it's funny because I think they call his kick like the Haluva kick, and it's basically spelled hell of a kick, which I think is funny. And I don't know if, like, they're just badly mispronouncing it or I'm, like, reading it in my head wrong. Because in my head, it's like, yeah, that's a hell of a kick.
No, it's a joke. That's the joke. It's like, it's a hell of a kick. No, it's the Haluva kick. It would probably, when he gets to the main roster, if they do that, there's a definite chance that someone will make that joke. It's a 619, Cole.
I mean, I hope for, and it was nice because they incorporated that. I mean, we saw Tyler Breeze, by the way, he still needs a new finisher, even though he got the beauty shot in. But
I think he needs a new finisher, but he needs a new finisher. But he can keep that one either as a finisher or a signature because of the fact that...
that's a wonderful signature.
Yeah, because the thing is, okay, if he wants... And you're right, it actually is a better signature. Because what I want to say is, it's such a nice way of catching people off guard. And I think it's nice that they put that on an RKO-type level. Now, I know how you deal with the RKO, but still, on a level of... It feels like it could be a catch finisher or, you know, a finisher on the rebound. Where it's like, he's running to you. Wait, no, you did it. Like, you pressed triangle.
That's definitely something that could happen. And I'd be very happy with that because he executes that wheel kick very nicely. But at the same time, I mean, I want him to be taken completely seriously because he can be. And I think he needs a more prominent finisher for that to happen. Because he is really excellent at being him.
Right. Almost too perfect, too pretty. He does a very great job at being himself, and they all really do, I think. And it's I will admit, I wanted Sami Zayn to win. I'm not upset that Neville won because obviously he's Neville, but it's a situation of, you know, you after a while you really want things to get switched up, and NXT feels like the place where that would normally happen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of where. I mean, since I don't watch the product a lot, who do you think would be next in line to go for Neville?
Well, because it's weird for me because I thought because we're doing this Fatal 4-Way, right, that this is maybe where Zayn wins because if Zayn's not winning, why is he not on the main roster? You know, because of the fact that he is so good, he needs to be on the main roster. And I don't know what they want to do, if they want to do a Zayn heel turn or a Neville heel turn, because they hinted at both of them. You know, they hinted at a very frustrated Zayn, and they hinted at an overconfident Adrian Neville. So, you know, it's not insane to think about the fact that we may see a heel turn from one of the two, and that may change things up.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's Neville because while I'm sure Zayn can do it, Neville was very, going into this match, he said, you know what, like, of course he was confident, right? But I think they can really play the angle of, you all didn't believe in me, did you? Well, here I freaking am, you know, I'm the winner, and guess what, you know, they are the losers.
And it can happen.
It can. You know, because,
the only thing that's hard is that, you know, it is very difficult to make a high flyer a heel.
Well, I'll say this much, too. Everyone in NXT, for the most part, seems over with something. So, as an NXT heel, it can make sense in their universe. You know, because in NXT, freaking NXT, you look at, you know, you're supposed to be like, boo, the Ascension. Nope. Yeah. You know? So, it's a very strange situation.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not that people haven't been heels with those kind of moves. It's just a little bit harder because people really want to cheer the Red Arrow because it is a very impressive feat that he can pull that off with consistency. That being said, I mean, Zayn really needs to hit the main roster or win the championship because, you know, if you want the main roster needs a boost right now, Sami Zayn can change things up Because he's very, very, very good at what he does. And if you're not going to do that, give him the freaking NXT title so he has something to do. I mean, it's not really fair. Prince Pretty,
also,
I mean, Tyler Breeze. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to mention to you, did you notice the chants, some of the best chants, were, okay, so obviously there's always like, let's go Cena, Cena, Fox, or, you know, let's go Charlotte, let's go Bayley, things like that, right? Did you notice the chants that were saying Tyson the Kid versus Natty's wife?
Yeah. Made me laugh, by the way, in Tyler's promo, when he was like, hashtag Uggo, hashtag Hobbit, hashtag Natty's wife. I was like, why is that a bad thing? Why is that an insult? It cracks me up. Just like,
yeah.
That's just Natalia's. I'm just like, oh my God. It's just, that being said, I mean, it just, did you see that Tyson Kidd was wearing headphones during Adrian Neville's entrance?
Yeah, I was so confused.
He's playing up the heel aspects very well, and he impressed in this match, I think, to the point where some people who didn't have faith in it before may look and be like, all right, maybe there's potential for a guy here, too. And that's why, you know, when Punk cut his pipe bomb.
Thank you.
I was thinking a lot
about Punk.
Yeah. Punk mentioned Tyson Kidd by name. And it wasn't a joke. I mean, Tyson Kidd is a very talented performer, and you could see that.
Very underrated. Yeah. Also, we have ourselves a caller. I'd like to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Sami Zayn has the longest slow burn ever.
Thank you, caller. We don't know who you are, but we agree.
It's Daniel.
I assumed it was Daniel. Hello, everyone. This is Daniel, our resident caller. Who? He lives here with us. He lives in the radio.
The only reason I don't talk, the only reason why I'm not a part of the show is because I don't have a microphone.
But here, you know, here is Daniel, black by popular demand, as always.
Yeah,
and Daniel,
as he's been called by the public.
So Daniel, you're calling in right as we're talking about the main event. I mean, I'm sure that the main event drove you crazy as it did most of the WWE fan base. No.
Holy God! Why can't you win one, Sami Zayn? WWE, give this man the title.
I don't know why you're talking about WWE. This is NXT. So you should be asking why NXT.
Okay, look. My thing is, NXT, all of the... why is it the NXT that's... I find NXT better than the main roster?
Why?
I don't know. Maybe because it's just actual wrestling, and they're like, no. I feel like there's less hold on this.
There's less what is that? I couldn't make that out.
There's just less hold on them. WWE.
Of course. No, I was kidding. It's obvious reasons why, you know, it's easy to see why you would love this more than the main roster. And yes, of course, they have less of a... I mean, I can still see little bits of corporate. It feels like they're kind of coming in, but they don't seem to be as bad as obviously the main roster, where it's just, you know, give that man a mask, take the mask off him, give him this, give him that, put him in a tutu, do something. And it's just, how about let the guy talk or let the girl talk? No, let's not do that.
Because it works on NXT. Like, this should
right,
be on
really
television. This should be on television instead of SmackDown.
I mean, you know, the problem, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Daniel, is that when you would put this on TV, you'd run the risk of making people tired because they're on the road, where I'm not saying Sami Zayn won't be good in the future, but Sami Zayn does have the benefit of just being in Florida, other than some of the times that he does end up working dark matches.
Yeah. So
think of it like that, where I will admit, though, if you're saying that NXT should replace it, you know, SmackDown, and they only maybe work SmackDown from Full Sail, which could be an issue, but still, they only work, you know, NXT from Full Sail, or they only do one two-hour show per week, and then that's all they do. They move around, but that only thing, I understand that. But the problem with SmackDown, you know, is that, sadly, we don't have our brand split anymore. We're not exclusive. It kind of all ties in together. But who do you think, speaking of the main event, who did you like the most in the main event? Obviously, Sami Zayn. But
yeah, I did. I love Sami Zayn because me and him and Adrian Neville have a Adrian Neville I've been hooked on for a while. I was like, God damn! I actually watched him and I watched the old stuff. Him, Kenta, or now Hideo Itami. That's his name, right? Hideo Itami.
Yep. Hideo Itami.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Did you happen to see Neville in Dragon Gate?
No, I have not. I got to check that out.
Yes, because I have not. Sadly, I haven't seen it myself, but I do want to purchase the DVD. I'll actually be going to a Dragon Gate event this Saturday, where I'll be seeing, hopefully, I'll be seeing Drew Galloway, who is also known as Drew McIntyre.
Yay, Drew! So,
yeah, he has the main title in Evolution, one of the shows that, you know, is run by Dragon Gate. So that would be nice. But anyway, so yes, Neville was part of Dragon Gate, Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley. So yeah, you should definitely check that out. All of you should, because we can see young Neville, and if you think what's also cool is, even though of course this is NXT, so they're let loose a bit, they've still been refined and changed a bit to a WWE style. So it is also cool to kind of go back and see how some of these people were different back in the indies. Some a bit better, but some obviously, needing a bit more polish, which is really interesting, I feel.
True.
So definitely. Yeah. So remember, if you don't like the current product so much, watch NXT and also look for indies, because they exist too. Don't act like it's just WWE or nothing.
Yeah, true. Because,
yeah.
But WWE makes it seem that way.
Well, obviously. They're a business. So anyway, Daniel, do you like Zayn more than Neville?
Yeah, it's just personal preference, actually. They're
right.
Both very good, but it's personal preference.
You know what it is
right.
For me?
Kish.
Between the two?
I was going to ask you. Yes.
Yeah, between those two, it's actually promos. And I hate saying this, but I say it all the time. Neville's accent works against him, and I really hate that it does, because I don't like to say that. But his accent works against him in promos.
Hmm. I can see a bit of that, but of course, thankfully he does have, certain aspects of him that could really get him over, which of course does go back to you saying that it's very hard to make him a heel, on the main roster or on
the
certain roster.
Yeah, the Red Arrow speaks for itself. It's one
exactly.
of the most single impressive finishing moves that we've seen in WWE, and they're
right.
allowing him to use it. Because we've seen crazy moves, but
that's
he can actually use it.
Yeah, the thing
yeah.
is, I miss when Seth Rollins used to do the Phoenix Splash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Phoenix Splash was sick, but WWE won't let him do that, So you look
because
at this move from Neville, and it's like, wow, they're letting not only do that, by the way, but he pulled out the classic Shooting Star Press in this match.
Dang.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, that was interesting, where you thought he was going to go for a Red Arrow, but then he went for that, and you went, oh, the match isn't over. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Daniel, you preferred Zayn in this match. Tatish, you also preferred Zayn in this match?
I thought we were talking in general.
Yeah.
Well, I was referring to this match specifically.
In this match, honestly, I think Tyson Kidd kept the match very interesting. So I'm going to go with Tyson Kidd in this match. Because
even though I understand where you're going with this, I meant who did you want to win in this
match?
Zayn. Who were you?
By far,
who
Zayn.
Was your guy?
Zayn.
Okay.
I wanted Zayn to win.
Zayn.
As long as I said, either give him the title or you put him on the main roster. One
yeah.
or the other.
So,
shouldn't be any other
so
options.
All three
for
of
me.
Us are Zayn men.
Yeah,
Zayn.
All three of us are Zayn.
And again,
got
I love Adrian Neville. I said this again, just like Daniel was saying, it's just a matter of slight preference because I think Neville's awesome. And I also do think he's had a little bit of time, too. So, I'm okay with giving it to Zayn. I am.
Yeah, Neville has grown on me. When I first saw him, I needed to, you to guide me and say, watch the actual match. And then I did, and it was just glorious.
Yes, because
so
he is glorious.
Oh, yeah. So, he again, it worries me. I don't want, even though it looks like he has a feeling that we don't want to be there, it sucks that it's just going to be, look at this NXT, which also kind of looks bad at NXT as well when you think about it, where it's just, look at where the NXT champs are today. Bo's in the mid-card. I know you can't start off someone immediately at the top, but Bo's at the mid-card, Big E is nowhere to be found. If you find Big E, please let him know that he's wrestling.
Yeah.
because
yeah.
I don't think WWE knows. So, so Big E, what other NXT champs do we have? I mean, we do have Roman Reigns was an NXT champ.
I don't believe he was. I believe that's it. We had Bo, we had Big E, Bo, and Neville, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Yes.
That's it.
Wow. That's
remember,
very
NXT,
interesting.
NXT is fairly
no,
new.
No, Seth Rollins, wait.
Daniel was saying, wasn't Seth Rollins a NXT champion?
He may have been.
I think he was the first one.
He may have been the first, and then, so, because it's not, if it is Seth, then that's it. Like, the list ends there. It could be.
Right.
But it's
so,
still
yeah,
very
the
short
point
list.
Is that we've had very little. So, yeah, that's how, so, yeah, so clearly, and, you know, Seth obviously,
Seth
you know,
was
kind of breaking
champion.
News. Hmm?
Seth was the inaugural champion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have Seth, who, you know, is, it's funny, too, because Seth is still up there, but they still have that air of, you're a young child, be AA'd by Cena, right? So it's very interesting how it's just we've, you know, we've had these guys come in, and they're just there. And then, you know, so you sit there and you go, we love you, Neville, but oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
So let's hope for good for Adrian Neville, because he deserves it, you know, for his past work and for his present work.
Yes, he does deserve it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, Daniel, thank you for calling in. We're very happy to have you call in. And, of course, keep on listening in. And I request, I saw that you didn't press 1 at first. Do you want us to keep you on the, you know, on the limbo, the listening limbo?
Yes, yeah.
Actually, Satish, can we do that? Or would he just be hearing nothing?
No, if we can put Daniel back, we can put Daniel back to mute, and he'll just be able to listen in.
Okay, so we're going to do that, Daniel. Again, thank you for calling in, and you know, keep on calling in, keep on listening, and anyone else, please, you know, call in the future. We don't bite.
I do bite. But I don't bite through the phone. That would be impossible.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're not. Yes. Yeah. Have a good night. Good night, everyone. So we've pretty much finished the main event. I mean, also, I mean, you want to, any cool stuff you want to add to the...
No, I mean, it really makes me happy to see this going on. I mean, I'm overly excited about Kenta's debut next week. I mean, I can't get over that.
Yes.
And I think we covered the majority of things that went on, if not everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. This was a pretty solid piece of wrestling work. I mean, yeah, it was a little bit less than what we expected from NXT, but overall, very impressive piece of work.
Oh, yeah. Do you, question, when you saw, okay, when Neville fell, like Zayn kind of threw him up, it looked like, and then Neville fell, and then Zayn went for the pin. Do you think that was a botch, or was it on purpose? Because they
I think it was
that.
On purpose. But
yeah,
it was... It was supposed to look cleaner than what happened.
Okay, that's good to hear, because it looked like someone was going to get reversed somewhere and it didn't happen, but then Zayn went for the pin, so I assumed it was real.
Yeah, it looked like,
you know,
the plan spot
standard.
Was Zayn was going to reverse Neville into a pin there, but it went a little bit less clean than they anticipated it would.
Okay, that's what I think, because like there was this look of like freshness, which is, oh dear God, but then he went for the pin, so I thought, oh, then I guess it's, when I say real, I meant like it's, you know, like wrestling kind of, oh, well, you know, that was meant to happen, of course, you know, like, so it was very confusing, which is, oh, but okay, so, because I sat there and I was like, because I didn't want anyone to get hurt, obviously, I looked like, you know, Neville could have gotten hurt from that.
Yeah, I mean, Neville works a very dangerous style anyway.
Arguably,
the fact that he is a good worker, it's contributed to by the fact that he takes a lot of risks in the ring. And, you know, I know that one day that may come back to bite him somehow, and I'm very scared of that. But, you know, you put him with the right workers, and Zayn is a very safe worker, things will be okay. Because even in the event of something that may have been a botch right there, it's okay.
Yeah, and you put him in the right type of matches where that was a notice qualification, but none of them felt the need, because the way they are, their characters, none of them felt the need to bring out tables and ladders and chairs and
that was notice
like
qualification?
That could, yes, that's why they were all outside the ring for so long, and they were able to
I just thought
it
was no count out.
Well, they on the announce team, they called it no disqualification in terms of, but it could have been just no count out in that sense. But the point is that, you know, Neville did pull out the ref, and I think normally on a normal basis that would have been considered, hey, screw you, you know, disqualification. But
no, I mean, hey, remember the house show we were at?
Hmm.
You remember the house show we were at, Northeast Wrestling?
Yes.
They didn't get DQ'd.
Yes, but of course, different set of rules. WWE always has weird, parent, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well,
very...
he didn't harm the ref. It just
he
was
did,
a,
but
a,
when he pulled
a simple
him out,
love.
Okay, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you this much then, and I'm not saying this is accurate, but I'm telling you what they said, and that's all I have to say. When he pulled them out, when he pulled the ref out, the announcing said, "Yep, he's allowed to do that because this is a no disqualifications match."
I mean, to be fair, as a champion, I don't think there's an issue doing that either, because champion's advantage is even if he did get DQ'd, he keeps his title.
Right. And either way, you know, as you mentioned before, that being a heelish thing to do. Right.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that he's shown some kind of heelish stuff going on. That was definitely one of them. Because, you know, regardless of what's going on, that was a heel thing to do.
Right. But anyway, but yes, like I was saying, so, you know, this was a no disqualification match. And also the fact that it was also very nice to see them take advantage of the steel, you know, on to the ring. Because I feel like it's taken for granted, where it's just, oh, my God, we're going to do a pile driver on the steel. The steel's already on fire. I mean, it's some crazy stuff. And it's like, so what are you going to do next? I mean, I don't know. You know, it's really nice that it was so close to the ring that Tyson went, I could win off of this. You know what I mean? And he tried to throw, you know, I believe it was Neville's time into the ring, and then bam, didn't win. Didn't happen. And it was very interesting to see. Also, I don't know about you, but I really felt for Tyler Breeze when he didn't get the pin off of both. I believe it was Neville and Tyson Kidd at the time.
Yeah, it was the dropkick spot where he kicked, and then kicked the shit out of Neville. And,
yeah,
you know,
it was a very well done spot,
and he didn't get it.
Oh, yeah.
The one part that actually pissed me off later in the match was when he tried to sneak the pin off Neville, because off to the Shooting Star Press. Because for some reason, my head just immediately went to, not like this.
Yeah, I thought the
and
same for a lot of
and he's been
much
stronger
match.
Than that. So that's why I kind of, you know,
yeah, no,
in the match,
I
he wasn't particularly booked strong.
No, but he wasn't booked strong. He was booked weaker than he usually is, which is upsetting. But at the same time, being the weakest out of the bunch, he still had some nice offense and some nice tactics, which kind of make him look like the opportunistic heel a bit. Like, he kind of, that's what felt sprinkled through a bit, where it felt, and I'm not saying he should be, but I'm saying that they gave the feeling of, like, I'm waiting to pick my moment to strike. Also, I am kind of hurt because that move that you did to me did hurt. But I'm also waiting for my moment to strike. So it hurt, and then, wait a minute, oh, boom, wheel kick. It's like, you know, it's like, damn it, no, he hit me. It's like, not that hard, I guess. Damn, again, wheel kick, you know, where it's just a situation of just, ha-ha, how many can I wheel kick? Wait a minute, no qualification, as if we're playing WWE 13. Come here, ref, wheel kick.
Yeah, why not?
You know, just trying to get as many as he can. So, it was just, again, he was, yes, technically the weakest of the four, but not completely in a way where it feels like he's just, you know, oh, yeah, I'm that loser. You know, I still have, I still feel something for it in this match. But, of course, he could have been given a bit more. But, so we are at the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely, with time to boot, we never have this chance. I think it's just the fact that most of these matches are so short, it sadly didn't give us a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of bridged this out the way that NXT actually did that.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you know, we timed ourselves the same way, and, you know, we have some extra time to spare, as did NXT.
Yeah. So, you know, we would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. If you liked this show, definitely like our Facebook. If you didn't like this show, definitely like our Facebook. Just either way, you should press that like button. You'll also see other shows. So if maybe you heard this and you thought, you know, I mean, this wrestling stuff is kind of cool, you know, from what they've been talking about, whatever. But I also like, you know, other things. Well, we do other things. You know, we don't just do wrestling like NXT, Monday Night Raw, WWE pay-per-views, sometimes even Total Divas. We don't just do that. We also do shows on Dragon Ball Z, shows on certain comic books that have come out on certain weeks. We also, you know, we branch out a lot, right? We've done some Pokemon rumors. We've done Steven Universe, Gravity Falls. Many of these things pique your interest. You know, definitely, you know, check out our Facebook page when we do more. You can also check out our Blog Talk Radio account. If you don't want to find us there, those guys on the radio, via Blog Talk Radio. You can also check out our Twitter, Those Guys Radio, where we update you on new shows and funny pictures, some of them being of Cass occasionally. And we also have ourselves an email, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. That email, you can get in contact with us to suggest show ideas, where if you might like a specific show, you might think, wow, this Big E guy, yeah, I love Big E because he likes My Little Pony. So does Satish Ram. So we can easily, and we know people, you know, even though I am not too well-versed in Ponyland, Satish is, and others are as well, that we know that, you know, can also come on the show, and we can do a show on My Little Pony, if that's what you fancy, you know. But again, we have to know from your reaction. So definitely get in contact with us, you know. We love to hear you guys and what you guys have to say. And gals, everyone. So definitely, again, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. Also, if you want us to promote anything, you know, your company, your item, your product, as long as it is legal, right, you know, email us, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, and we will be able to, you know, come to understanding and talk about what it is you know, we're going to promote you on our show and talk about whatever it is you are selling that is completely legal.
Yeah. And, you know, just to clarify on what Matt said, if you don't like our Facebook's page, we have one word for you. S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
Soft. Oh. I was doing the long one. Well, anyway, again, we would like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. And also, I make jokes, but sometimes I'm not kidding. Some things just become a reality.
I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid.
New York's not that shining, or shimmering, or splendid.
You last let your heart decide. I can open your eyes. Take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view, no one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming,
a whole new world. Dazzling place I never knew, but when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you.
Now I'm in a whole new world with you.
Unbelievable sight, indescribable feeling, soaring, tumbling, freewheeling through an endless diamond sky.
Hold your breath, it gets better.